Hello everyone, welcome to the TriStar Gym. Today we're going to be doing Whitaker versus Till. The sound is working. All I had to do was restart the computer. All the buttons were pushed right. Now that I know, I got to restart the computer every single time I do this because everything was green. Everything was done right, but the button pushing people out there forgot to make the computer work properly. Whatever happened, let's not dwell on it. As usual, a classic start, of course. All right, Mike is good. Great. Today we're talking about Darren Till and Whitaker. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on who you guys think is going to win this fight this Saturday. Special thank you to my sponsors, TimTam.Tech, JujiClub.com, Monster Energy Drink. Shout out to Monster Energy Drink. And who else am I missing? I'm forgetting. Oh, and Gym Kings, my Gym King friends. Make sure to check out Gym Kings. I got my new favorite jiu-jitsu shirt. I know you guys are going to love this shirt. It's my new favorite one. My other favorite one was the Neon Belly, but now this one has surpassed Neon Belly. My favorite shirt now is this one. It just says jiu-jitsu on it simply, but I just love the look. I love the feel of the material. And it is now taking number one spot as my new favorite shirt. With that said, guys, I want you guys to click W or T. Let me know who you think is going to win. I'm going to take a quick little poll. I want to see what you guys think. And then I'm going to give you guys my quick rundown. This is a tough one. Very tough fight to call. Now let's go. Let me see here what you guys have to say. T or W? If you think Till is going to win, give me T. T. Till in round one. Till via TKO. Whitaker. Till. Whitaker. Till. Oh, looks like it's pretty close, this one. Till. I would say it's 60-40 for Till. Maybe, close to 50-50 now. It's getting there. All right, guys. That's what I thought. This is a close one. This is a tough one. So many question marks. So many unanswered questions. Who's going to win this fight? These guys are both killer strikers. We know this. We've seen their fights. Darren Till had that big breakthrough performance against Cowboy Cerrone. For those of you who missed that fight, it was an amazing performance by Till. Till took it from the start. It didn't last long. It lasted maybe a few minutes. He put on a stellar performance versus Cowboy Cerrone. Put Cowboy Cerrone out in round one. They stopped the TKO. Then he had a five-rounder with Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, one of the legendary strikers of all time. And that was a very close contest. And if I remember, it was either round four or round five. I believe it was round five where he dropped Wonderboy with a clean shot. And I think he was the first guy to do that since Ellenberger. And it just showed like it was so neck and neck. And then, okay, well, Till, you know, at the end, if you counted everything, Till really had a good finish to that fight. He did. He had a good start with the oblique kicks. And then at the end, he dropped Wonderboy, which was very surprising because Wonderboy is one of the most slickest and smartest and strategic strikers out there. Till got the job done there. And then he goes on and he fights Masvidal. Now, Masvidal was not in the best place at that point. Everybody, I think, was looking for a quick finish from Till. And it almost happened in round one. Till had knocked down Masvidal. Many of us watched that fight. It was a big fight. I think it was a McGregor card as well. So everybody was tuning in. Actually, no, that wasn't a McGregor card. I'm not remembering which card that was. But regardless, that doesn't matter. Till had Masvidal in trouble in round one. And we saw Masvidal on his back in round one. He got knocked down, smiling, relaxed. He's really cool. He believed in himself at the whole time, even when he was down and had Till on top of him trying to look for the finish. Masvidal being the true street fighter, really truly game bred. That man is truly game bred. He was all smiles and laughing and he was like, this ain't even close to being over. Round two comes about and Masvidal does that shuffle that he's been doing now in the last few fights. He did that shuffle, switch stance, then shuffled his way in and knocked out Till, surprising us all. Why did it surprise us all? Well, Till had a similar style to Wonderboy. Not in every aspect, but he keeps distance like Wonderboy. And we saw Masvidal fight Wonderboy and have a lot of trouble closing the distance. Wonderboy, for those of you who didn't see that fight, took all three rounds. It made sense that maybe Tilt can do the same. If he was strategic like Wonder Boy, he saw the Wonder Boy fight, why wouldn't he just do the same? MMA math almost never works, guys. It makes so much sense, but it doesn't work. Then you go out in real life. We look at what happens, and Masvidal finishes the fight in round two. You'd think that Darren Till would kind of do the similar thing that Wonder Boy did. Keep range, use his reach, use his quick strikes, you know, those short strikes, even though they're long, they don't travel that much distance all the time, and just keep kind of Masvidal at bay. But Masvidal was very different when he fought Till. He didn't have that shuffle move. He must have adapted. He must have realized, hey, I need to close the distance on these guys. That being said, Wonderboy also beat Whitaker. So again, MMA math, which doesn't work, guys. I'm not a big believer in MMA math. If Wonderboy beat Whitaker and Till beat Wonderboy, then Till should beat Whitaker. MMA math almost never works. And the fight that Whitaker had with Wonderboy was a long, long time ago. That was before he went to 185. And he had lost to Wonderboy. I don't think that's not the same Whitaker whatsoever. He went on after to go to a major win streak. He beat several fighters, won the world title, defended it, had two epic battles with Yoel Romero. And that was a long time ago, his loss to Wonderboy, a real long time ago. So with that said, two power strikers, two knockout artists. One coming off a win and one coming off a loss. Robert Whittaker lost to Adesanya. I know that fight with Wonderboy was a long time ago. But if you look at his fight with Adesanya and his fight with Wonderboy, and I forget how many years, but it must have been like 5 years in between, roughly. He kind of lost a little bit the same way. Is the tall, rangy fighter Whittaker's kryptonite? That's the question I want to put on the table here. Is the long, rangy fighter who steps back punching, keeps a long range, is that the type of fighter that beats Whittaker? And the reason why I say this is because Whittaker's a power puncher. He throws big. He goes for the kill. He has many knockouts on his record. He swings for the fences. And sometimes that's a counter fighter's dream. That's the one critique I'm worried about for Whittaker. Now, I'm going to tell you guys off the bat. Usually I like to say right away, I forgot to do it. I'm picking Whittaker for this fight. Now, I'll tell you why I'm picking Whittaker for this fight. Full disclosure, I trained with Whittaker for many years. He's a dear friend. He's somebody everybody at TriStar absolutely loves. He used to live at the TriStar dorms. He's a great human being, great person. So the whole TriStar team and family for sure were behind him 100%. With that said, I have to give you guys full disclosure why I will pick. I always pick the guys I know best, okay? So just so you guys know. That's the one thing that scares me about this fight. Is he going to do like he did with Adesanya? Swing for the fences, go for the kill, headhunt a little bit, and then maybe get countered. What I'm hoping to see Whittaker do is kick the leg like he did with Yoel Romero, attack the body with punches, knees, and attack the body with punches and knees and kicks. And not just focus on landing a big punch to the chin. Now, we've seen Till get knocked out with a big punch to the chin. I'm not saying that's not a good thing. Going for the chin is absolutely necessary. But he has to set it up. He has to close off the cage. He has to make sure that he lands or misses in a way that he cannot get countered. So he's got to kick that leg. He's got to teep that body. He's got to punch that body. He's got to clinch knee and elbow. He's got to slow Whittaker down. He's got to bring that range closer and closer. Don't let the tall man be fresh and quick in round one and he's taking little choppy steps, counting every little millimeter. And every time you step in with a big shot, he just pulls out of the way and counters you, like we saw Adesanya and Wonderboy do to Whittaker. This is the one thing I believe that could spoil the night for Whittaker. Outside of that, I would say Whittaker has the better wrestling and the better jiu-jitsu. He's a brown belt now. We remember the Till fight with Woodley. He got taken down with a right hand. Best takedown in the game, guys. I always say the best takedown in the game is a punch to the chin. And then he gets put in a darce. Oops, sorry about that. The Dars, it didn't seem like he was fighting that Dars too hard. I think Till puts a lot of training time in his striking and probably wrestling defense. I have a feeling that if they get on the ground, Till is just going to do the most basic attacks. The most basic escapes and the most basic get-ups. Till is, in his mind, this is a firefight. We're striking. There's no grappling. None of this foolishness. Why do I say that? Because his reactions when Woodley was putting on that Dars seemed very, how should I say, he seemed uncomfortable there. Like he didn't know even where to put his elbows or hands or how to hold his posture. His posture was wrong. All these things were wrong. Basic things that I think that if he studied jiu-jitsu for the years he's been training MMA, he would have probably escaped that or at least avoided it. Not to say, you know, black belts couldn't get caught, but you could tell that Till does all his, you know, he's mostly effective. All his wins, all his maneuvers are geared towards striking. And if Whitaker hurts him, drops him with any punch or a low kick that trips him up and Whitaker gets on top of him, I think that's a major bonus for Whitaker. But I do see this fight being a 5-round firefight, striking all the way until there's a knockdown. I don't think either man's going to try a takedown. I think one or the other is going to get knocked down and either fight away. So if Whitaker knocks him down, he'll get on top of him. If Till knocks him down, like he did with Masvidal, when he knocked out Masvidal, he did get on top of Masvidal and started picking away at shots. Now, I don't think these two guys are going to get into a slick grappling battle. It's going to be ground and pound if it hits the ground. It's going to be more striking, of course. But I still see Whitaker in that advantage. If Whitaker attacks the body, cuts off the ring, teeps to the body, kicks to the leg, if he does that, if he attacks the body, he'll find Till's chin. That's how I see this story. If he doesn't, he's going to get counterpunched and probably will lose. But I have a feeling that he's going to do it. He's going to kick the body. He's going to clinch him up. He's going to knee. He's going to elbow. He's not going to headhunt. And I hope that Whitaker gets the victory. I'm giving this a 55-45 Whitaker. Giving it 55-45% for Whitaker. Now, with that said, guys, give me your thoughts and comments on this fight. Questions, thoughts, and comments. But please don't change the subject. Let's get this done, and then we can talk about absolutely anything you guys want. All right, let's see what we have here. Who has the first question? I did see a super chat zoom up. Let's see, I missed a super chat. I know you guys get really upset when I don't do the super chats, when I skip them. Can Till use the same strategy he used with Kelvin? That's from Vipin. Kelvin, yes, he did a great fight against Kelvin. Kelvin's a big puncher. Kelvin Gastelum is a very, very big puncher. He's very robust. He's got the guts. He's got the drive. When you hit him, he doesn't show any fear. He's just a very very great athlete and puncher. Technically, his striking is very good. And Till did an amazing job. Could he do that to Whitaker? Absolutely. I think that if he plays smart, because here's what Till's thinking. He's got to be thinking this. If he beats Whitaker, he gets a title shot. So in his mind, he's like, look, I'm going to go there. I'm going to beat this guy. I'm going to do whatever it takes to beat this guy. And if that means playing this Gastelum strategy, being extra safe and being extra cautious and not being overly aggressive, because Whitaker, if you're overly aggressive with him, you can get knocked out. Similar with Gastelum. Gastelum's also a big puncher. I think he's going to play it safe a little bit. You know, at least he's going to bank in 3 rounds and then he might get crazy. But he's going to want to bank in those 3 rounds. Why? Because those 3 rounds, he can get a title fight. Actually, I shouldn't say he can get a title. He will get a title fight. I'd be surprised if he beats Whitaker and doesn't get a title fight. Okay, so he's got a lot of following. He's British. If they had a British champion or a British title fight, I mean, it could be huge. You know, having a British champion again. So I think it's something going to be looking for. All right. Whitaker, guys, bet the house. All right. Some of you are very, very confident in Whitaker. Will Till gas out? That's from Jazz. No, I don't think conditioning will be an issue unless there's a lot of body shots. The only way one of these two guys will get tired, in my opinion, is if they get hit hard to the body or hard to the chin and there's an accumulated damage and they'll look tired, but it's really a body shot. You know, it's when you get hit to the body, it zaps your energy, but it's not a cardio issue. But it gives the allure that you're tired. Coach, what do you think Whitaker will try to take down Till? That's from Marco Castro. No, I think he's just going to try to knock him down. His favorite takedown is going to be a right hand or overhand right or left hook. Jack Neary, who hits the hardest? That's asking me, who hits the hardest between Till and Whitaker? In my opinion, Whitaker. He seems to be the bigger puncher. Who's the best boxer, Till or Whitaker? That's from Peter Gallagher. If this was a strictly boxing match, that would be really interesting. 12 rounds, 3 minutes, I would give it to Whitaker. Because he'd corner him. You know, in the octagon, it's harder to corner somebody. There are no corners. The corners are actually very, very subtle. They're not, you know, sharp 90-degree corners like in a ring. If you give if you put these two in a boxing match in a ring with corners, I'd be really confident in Whitaker. Now, the octagon is also a lot bigger. I saw the octagon they have, the one in Dubai. It seems to be the full-size octagon. And that's an advantage for Till. No corners. The bigger the octagon, the better for Till. He has more room to keep his reach and range. Hey, coach, what do you think about the in-and-out explosion of Robert Whitaker? That's from Hiren. Hiren, you know what? I don't like it that much for this fight. I think it's always great to have, but he doesn't have the reach advantage. Now, I know a lot of you are going to be like, coach, they're roughly the same height and their reach is comparable. I agree with you. But they're fighting long. You know, some meters, some fighters, they don't fight that way. You know, whether they have the longer reach or not, they're typically walking you down. So Whitaker, he does use his reach, absolutely, but he doesn't use it as religiously as Till. Till is much more calculated in terms of reach. Till is much more of a straight puncher. Whitaker throws more loopy shots. Now, Whitaker also has a mix of both. That's why I like Whitaker in this fight. Whitaker throws straight down the middle. He also throws loopy shots. And if he kills the body, if he hurts the body, I think Whitaker wins. And I'm assuming, I haven't looked at their reach stats, but I would say they're probably close to even height. Till a little bit taller and Till with a slight reach. But it's not going to be the reach and height, the difference. The difference is going to be their fighting style. Does Till have more weapons than just his left? Is Whitaker underestimating Till's abilities? That's from Jonathan Witt. Till has a great left. Dropped so many guys with it. But he's also quick. He's also a good counter puncher. With Wonderboy, he showed a lot of good defensive skill. When Wonderboy did his blitz, Till had a beautiful cover, countered Wonderboy a few times. It was impressive. Do you think Dominic Cruz style would work in Muay Thai? That's from Kubrat. Kubrat, I don't think as much in a ring. In a ring, it's a lot harder to run around and zigzag and use your footwork. Why? Because you're going to get caught up against the ropes. And, you know, Muay Thai, the ring area is much smaller. Okay, so I've done Muay Thai and it's much smaller. The guy can't move around so much. There's the corners. Plus, they're going to be chopping your legs. If they can get close to you and you're running like that, you're using that footwork, you're going to get your legs chopped. Footwork works better in the octagon because there's so much more space. All right, another super chat here. This is from Bogdan. Coach, you said the no takedowns. Why wouldn't Whitaker try to use his wrestling? That's from Bogdan. Bogdan, you know what? I think that just going through his history of fighting, he doesn't really do takedowns too often. Now, if he stunned you, it wouldn't make sense to just throw you on the floor, maybe a little trip. Of course, he knows takedowns. It's just not his style. And I think because he hasn't grown up in wrestling, he might feel that if he gets into a wrestling match with Till and doesn't score the takedown, that might be detrimental to his striking because he might fatigue himself. When you grew up doing something, you don't get tired doing it. You know, if you grew up grappling or grew up boxing or grew up whatever you did, growing up, easy to have that cardio. You've made your peace with that type of cardio. But then when you do something in your adulthood, you never have that same confidence until you've taken it to the highest level. Let's be honest, Whitaker is more of a striker. He's taking striking to the highest level, not his wrestling. His wrestling is not at the highest level. His wrestling is good. Defensively, he's very good. Offensively, he'd be gambling with his cardio now. He might try a takedown or two. He might even get it until he gets back up. That's going to fatigue him. Okay, so a seasoned wrestler, he's ready to take you down 50 times. A not-so-seasoned wrestler, Whitaker's more of a striker. He's going to stick with the striking. Okay. All right, let me just double check here. Let me just take a quick little check. Okay, internet is good, connected. It's telling me here that I'm buffering. I don't know why I'm connected to an Ethernet cable. Very strange. Okay, so, guys, only questions on the fight, please. Okay, here we go. What do you think about Whitaker talking about burnout and depression? Is this common in fight game from your experience? Yeah, you know, it could be very hectic, especially when you're champion. You have so many obligations. You have your family, of course. You have your children, family. Children particularly needs attention. And then you have this fight career where you got to be training around the clock. And you got to be watching out because everybody's gunning for you. So I can definitely see that it's highly stressful. You know, I've lived it myself, you know, training a few world champions as well. It's a tough thing. But some guys love it. Some guys, they love it for a few years. You know, they love the fast pace. But in the end, I think it gets to everyone. You know, everybody needs a break eventually. Also, guys, I wanted to talk about Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. I heard that fight is booked. I'm also interested in talking about that today. So let's do the Whitaker fight. Let's wrap it up shortly in a few minutes here. I'm going to take a few more questions. And then we could talk about the next two, probably the next biggest boxing fight in a long time. Two legends get in the ring. All right, let's see. Coach is not a betting man. That's correct, my friend. I'm not a betting man, but I already made my pick, and I'm sticking with it. Hey, Coach, do you expect to see Whitaker exploding forward like he did against Izzy, or being more patient and waiting for opportunities to show themselves? That's from BGLNZ. That is a very, very smart and accurate assessment. I totally agree with you. That's exactly what I said a few minutes ago. If he tries to go wild and throw big shots, he could land big or he can get countered big. The best example is Aldo versus McGregor. He went for it, man. He gambled it all. I don't know why you would do that. You know, you've been training for so long to fight for this moment. Why flip a coin? Now, you look at that Aldo fight versus McGregor. Aldo gets knocked out throwing a right hand and left hook. As he gets knocked out, he had so much momentum on that left hook. It's incredible. I've seen countless fights, and this is the only occurrence I've ever seen this happen. He gets knocked out by McGregor, and the left hook is still traveling. There was so much momentum. He had fired that left hook, and he gets intercepted. As that left hook is traveling through the air, he gets intercepted with the left, goes out. The left hook still hits McGregor and cuts McGregor. I've never seen a man unconscious cut another man with a punch as he's unconscious, as he's put unconscious. That's how much power he threw that hook with. Now, imagine this. Imagine McGregor's left hand just missed just by a hair. And Aldo's punch was a little bit lower. And instead of hitting McGregor up here, it hits right on the chin. Imagine you had the reverse knockout. Well, everybody would be praising the aggression of Aldo. Look at this aggression. Look how, you know, that's how you win. You know, you go out there and you make a fist, man, and you throw it. And then people are going to say mundane, crazy, dumb things like this. You know, like guys with no fighting experience are going to say stuff like that. And the scary thing is train athletes and coaches will also say stuff like this. So then is that the answer? Every time you fight, you should just throw a bomb, a haymaker? Sometimes it's the answer and sometimes it's not. Now, Could it have been that Aldo knocked out McGregor? If just, you know, a little bit more accuracy from Aldo, a little less accuracy from McGregor, could have happened. Now, I'm not saying that McGregor got luckier any which way. Okay, McGregor countered Aldo deliberately. It was a clean win, an incredible win, one of the greatest wins in UFC history. All I'm saying is that when you throw a wild punch like that, more often than not, at the highest level, you're going to get countered. So if Till is on point and Whitaker is headhunting like he did with Izzy, he's going to get countered more often than not. Is he going to do that? I don't think so. I think he's going to be smarter about it. He had time off. He's going to be more calculated about it. And I hope history does not repeat itself. And I think that the whole fight isn't that. The whole balance of the fight is that. Is Whitaker going to be patient and calm? He's got 5 rounds. That's good for Whitaker. And is Whitaker going to beat up the body? Okay, guys, I think I'm going to do one last one on this fight, and then we're going to move on. We're going to talk about Roy Jones Jr. versus Mike Tyson. I'm excited about this fight. I know a lot of you are not going to be happy about this fight, but I am very excited about this fight. I'm going to tell you why. After we do one more question. Who has the better chin? That's from Yoko. Yoko, that's a great question, man. That's a really, really good question. Whew, that's a tough one. You know, honestly, I would say Whitaker is tougher. I know he's been knocked out, but look, he's been knocked out by the who's who. When he got knocked out by Wonderboy, his career, like, he was still green. He was not as seasoned as he is today, okay? So when he got knocked out by Izzy, man, look, don't get me wrong. Wonderboy is phenomenal. He can knock anybody out. But he was greener. Whitaker was greener at that point. When he got knocked out by Izzy, I'm not giving any excuses, but he just got clipped. It happens. I'm not saying he's way tougher, invincible. No, he can get knocked out. But Till, in my opinion, hasn't fought anybody at the level of Izzy. I think if he fought Izzy, I think Izzy would take it. Whitaker, in my opinion, is tougher. And that includes the chin. So I think he has a slight edge there. Not a major edge. Not a light years ahead. You know, either one of these guys can get knocked out. Either one of them. Because they're both such great knockout artists. But I think Whitaker also has the edge, a slight edge in toughness. All right, guys. Let's talk about Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. I don't know why nobody's asking me questions about this fight. I'm very pumped up. Maybe it's because I grew up watching those two men fight. And maybe you guys are not into that stuff. But I'm a huge Mike Tyson fan. And I'm a huge Roy Jones fan. And I'm not even sure if this fight is real. Like, could it be real? Because if it is, I'm really happy to hear it. I really want this fight to happen. Hold on a second here, guys. I'm having a little bit of a small issue here. This will be done. My button pushing skills are going to surface here. I don't know why I have two control rooms. I don't know if I should delete one window. I'm just going to let it be. I'm not going to mess with it. All right, let's see here. Okay. I'm trying to find. There it is. My button pushing skills. No, they're not 100%, but I think they are surpassing 50%. Okay, let's see here. Roy Jones versus Tyson versus Roy Jones. Is it true? I believe it's true. I'm just going to confirm here with a little video. Oh, no, I just screwed it up. Okay. Roy Jones Jr. Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. set for 8-round exhibition on September 12th in California. Wow. Incredible. Okay, guys, tell me, who do you think is going to win? R for Roy Jones or T for Tyson? I have my answer already. I have it in my head. I'm going to share it with you guys after you guys tell me who you pick. Please do tell me who you guys pick. Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones. Okay, let me see you guys, what you guys have to say. Let me pump you guys up with this video here. You guys are going to get pumped up with this video. And then Tyson, Roy. Come on, guys. Give me, who's the better fighter? These guys are going to be, how old is Tyson right now? He's got to be 50. Jones, Tyson, Jones. Oh, man, it's a lot closer than I thought. Roy, Tyson. Tyson for the win. Do you see ending by high elbow? Tyson. Classic draws always. It's an exhibition, guys, but we're going to have the fans, we're going to do a post-fight interview, and you guys are going to tell me who wins. They might get knocked out. One of them might get knocked out. But tell me, who do you think wins this fight? I know it's an exhibition, but we're going to go to the cards ourselves. We're going to have a popular vote. Roy is more diminished. Tyson is 54. How old is Roy Jones? Roy 51. Tyson 54. Wow, Tyson. A lot of you guys are going for Tyson. Guys, I'm picking Roy Jones Jr. Why? Why am I picking Roy Jones? Listen, in their heyday, in their prime. Now, you guys remember Roy Jones is smaller, but he fought heavyweight. He beat John Ruiz for the world title, heavyweight world title. Even though his father forbid him for years, he went out and he took the chance and he beat Ruiz for the heavyweight world title. In the heyday, Tyson would demolish Roy Jones because he's bigger. Now, pound for pound, in both their peak, very hard to tell. Roy Jones, if he stopped at the right time, if Roy Jones quit his career at his peak, he would have gone down as arguably the greatest fighter of all time. If you disagree, you're not familiar with the man's career. There was a time where you couldn't imagine anybody beat this man. Okay? Then he had a series of losses, and he's been losing to guys you never heard of. Now he's still fighting. I still think he aged better than Tyson. I love Mike Tyson. I'm a big fan of Mike Tyson. I just think that Roy Jones aged better than Tyson. I could be completely wrong. But here's how I see it, guys. All due respect. I think that if Tyson doesn't knock him out in round one or two, Tyson's going to get picked apart. And he's just going to take his check and go home. He's going to be like, you know what? I don't care about this fight. He's got to knock out Roy in round one or two. Tyson used to be like, if he doesn't knock you out in 4 or 5 rounds, you know, like it's going to go the distance. You could beat Tyson. That was the consensus, you know, after he lost to Holyfield. You know, he couldn't beat Holyfield in the first few rounds. We started thinking Holyfield's going to come back. And, of course, with Lennox, you know, that was a different story. Anyways, let's not get on a tangent here. We could talk about the Lennox fight if you guys like. That was a classic. That was a huge fight. I shouldn't say that was a huge fight because we wanted to see those two fight for so long, but Tyson had gone to jail. Anyways, I'm going on a tangent again. He wasn't in his prime. Tyson wanted two more fights before he fights Lennox, and they didn't want to give it to him. Long story short, Tyson was not at his best, and finally Lennox, because if you guys don't know, like Lennox was beating around the bush when Mike Tyson was at his peak. Lennox seemed to be avoiding Mike, and then when they finally did fight, you know, there's a story actually that I said I wouldn't go on a tangent, but I'll give you this quick one. Okay, guys, my apologies. One of my old boxing trainers told me that he was present when Tyson sparred with Lennox. Now, I don't know if he was just telling me a story. That was one of my old boxing trainers. Like, you know, some old guy that's in the gym, and he's just like, hey, I know I saw Lennox and Tyson spar when they were kids. And he claims that Tyson stopped him. Now, I've heard about this before. I've heard of this story that Tyson and Lennox spar together when they were younger, I think 16, 17, 18 maximum, and then Tyson had stopped him in the sparring. But of course, that was Tyson was stopping everybody in the amateur in sparring. They couldn't find any sparring partners for him. And then fast forward 20 plus years or 20-ish years later, they fight in the pro. Now, in Tyson's prime, he would have beat Lennox. Then he went to jail, etc., came back, wasn't the same. Lennox finally fights him. It's the same old story. Roy Jones is fighting Tyson that's, I don't think, going to show up. When Tyson was fighting in his later fights, I heard that his trainers were making him do, now you guys are not going to believe this, 30-second rounds. So meaning 30-second training, take a break. 30 seconds of training, take a break. I believe it. He's probably so burned out from training mentally that 30 seconds of shadow boxing or hitting the bag or like they probably just have to drag him in the ring. They have to drag him in the gym, I should say. They have to drag him in there and just shadow boxing 30 seconds is just too mentally exhausting, not physically exhausting, of course. Hitting the bag, Tyson's routine when he was young, he would train in the morning. They would videotape the training session. Then he would rest, train at night, videotape the training session. And then in the evening, they would watch the two trainings. They would make him watch his practice. And when he wasn't watching his practice, he was watching classic boxing fights. The man, if you've ever heard him talk about boxing, he's a boxing scholar. He knows every boxer, every punch that's ever been thrown, almost. Okay, you guys know what I'm trying to say here. He knows his fights really well. But I highly doubt we're going to see a tip-top Mike Tyson. I think we're going to see a Mike Tyson that's going in there to get a paycheck. Why? You know what? I've kept up with his documentaries. I've listened to him talk. I just don't think he has the motivation to train. Now, what about Roy? I don't think Roy is going to be training for fights unless it's Mike Tyson. I think this fight's going to excite Roy. Now, I don't know Roy personally, but I followed his career for many years. I think this fight is a fight that's going to motivate him. And I think Roy will train. I actually believe so. I think Roy Jones will train. He'll spar. He'll do a lot more to get ready. He's too smart. He's going to get out of the first two rounds. He's not going to do great in the first two rounds. He's going to be very careful. It's going to be smart Roy Jones. He's going to be really, really careful. He's going to take him in the later rounds. And he's going to be too fast for Mike. Too long, too fast, too smart. He's going to box better. Mike has bad knees, guys. We all know Mike has bad knees. Now, with that said, I want to hear what you guys have to say. I know a lot of us are very emotional about these two boxers because we watched them for so many years. But let it rip. Roy Jones, because he has been more active. That's from Ibrahim. That is very true. That is very true, but he's not been doing as great, obviously. But Roy Jones has been more active. Obviously, I don't think when was the last time Mike Tyson fought? My goodness. Hold on, he had a loss to a guy we never heard of. Hold on, let me look it up. Let me go to BoxRec here. And let me see. BoxRec Mike Tyson. Let's look at this. Man, I can't even remember what year it was. Hold on a second here. BoxRec. Mike Tyson. All right. Okay, here we go. I just found this profile. What year was his last fight? 50 wins, 6 losses, 44 wins by KO. 5 of his losses were by KO. 5 of his losses. I think one of them, his one loss was a disqualification. His other loss. Okay, so here, no, he won Kevin McBride. Kevin McBride, he beat Kevin, no, sorry, I'm sorry. He lost to Kevin McBride. Again, that's what I was saying. He lost to a guy you wouldn't recognize. He lost to Danny Williams. When he lost to McBride, that was his last fight. That was in 2005, 15 years ago. His last fight, Mike Tyson's last fight, he lost 3 out of his last 4. And that was in 2005. Oh, he lost to a guy with how many fights? Let's look at Kevin McBride's record. So he lost to a guy who was 35-10. From Ireland, 35-10. Let's look at Mr. McBride's. Okay, so Mr. McBride, the guy who beat Tyson back in 2000. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Lost 6 out of his last 7 fights. When he beat Tyson, oh, he was on a win streak when he beat Tyson. Hold on a second. His career didn't end so beautifully, but he was on a win streak. Before he fought Tyson, he was on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fight win streak. So when he fought Tyson, he was in better shape. He had a lot. He had a string of losses in the end of his career. Mike Tyson. Let's look at Roy Jones Jr.'s record. Roy Jones. This fight is slated for September. You know I'm going to be watching. All you old school boxing fans, a lot of you are not going to be happy about this fight. I know a lot of you are going to be complaining. What is this fight? It's all money grab. People are never happy. But I tell you one thing. It's going to be a great fight. We're all going to tune in. Everybody's going to complain about it, but then we're going to tune in. Let me see. We're all going to tune into this fight. I love when people complain about a fight, but then they'll pay $60 to see the fight. 66-9 for Roy Jones. 66 wins, 9 losses, 5 losses by KO, 47 wins by KO. Okay, so his last... Oh, look, he's won fights. Look at this. His last fight was 2018, guys. 2018. Mike Tyson's last fight was 2005. He won... Oh, look at this. Actually, we all remember he had 3 losses in a row. Danny Green, Bernard Hopkins, Denis Lebedev. That was a Russian guy. Really, really did a number on him. Then he went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 fight win streak. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Won 12 out of his last 13 fights. Won 12 out of his last 13 fights, man. His last fight was in 2018, then 2017, 2016, 2016, 2015, 2015, 2015, 2015. This man's been busy, man. In his older age, he's been busy, and he's been still winning. He will beat Mike Tyson, in my opinion. He's more active. He aged better. Mike Tyson's not going to be able to train. He's not as motivated. And this is a huge opportunity for Roy Jones. Mike Tyson's been in so many mega fights. Not big fights. Mega fights. Like, Roy Jones has not been in mega fights like Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was making $21 million a fight in the 80s. He was in ultra... Like, remember that fight with Mayweather and Pac-Man? That was every Tyson fight, okay? Every Tyson fight felt like that. People would pay $5,000 for a front row seat and the fight would last 20 seconds. The man was just too alluring. People who didn't watch boxing knew all about Mike Tyson. People who don't watch boxing don't know anything about Roy Jones. But even a guy who lives in a remote place in the world, in the 80s and 90s, if you told him the words Mike Tyson, he would say, yeah, the punching guy, the boxer. A lot of you guys voted Tyson. Coach, Tyson is not outboxable, LOL. No, he will get outboxed, in my opinion, Marco. I think Mike Tyson will get outboxed. He hasn't fought since 2005. And I have a feeling from listening to all his interviews in the past and documentaries and all that, I think he's so sick of boxing. I think he's doing this because there's a paycheck attached to it. Coach, are you biased? Oh, I didn't get to. Maybe for the pay, yes. Tyson Holyfield 3. Oh, hell no. No way. No way. That fight will never happen. Tyson should have fought Holyfield. No. I have a feeling that Holyfield aged way too well comparatively. Robert, guys, I'm not doing any more Whitaker Till fights. We covered that fight. I am now on Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. I grew up watching these guys. I'm really excited about this fight. I don't know if they should be fighting. I mean, they're in their 50s, you know. I don't know. Maybe it's going to be hard to watch if they don't come in shape, but I can't help but watch it. There's just no way. It's like when Royce Gracie fought Ken Shamrock, I was going from the airport to the hotel and the fight was happening and we were rushing, like we were going to an event. We were all rushing to watch that fight. And before everybody criticized it, and after the fight, everybody criticized it. But when the fight was playing, we were all glued to the screen. We wanted to see Royce Gracie versus Shamrock. We watched them fight 20 years ago. We want to see them settle the score. It's going to be the same thing. People are going to knock on the fight, but on fight night, they're all going to tune in. After the fight, they're all going to knock on it, maybe. And but we're all tuning in. We're all paying. We're all going to be watching. What do you like about Roy Jones? That's from Peter Gallagher. I think he knows what he has to do. He's going to take Mike for a dance in rounds one and two. It's an eight-rounder. And then he's going to steal the last six. I don't know how Mike can agree to eight-rounder. Mike should have took a four-rounder. But the money must have been right. The money must have been right. That's what I think it was. Okay. What else we got here? All right, my chat room is having a... Okay, it's good now. Do you think Roy Jones will TKO Tyson? Yes, I think he will. Not because Tyson couldn't get in shape and win this fight or do good. I think Tyson's just not going to put his full effort in it. I have a feeling he's just not going to be able to train. He's got a bad knee. As he starts training, he's going to realize, you know, I haven't fought in 15 years. His body's not going to feel good after training. He's going to be sore. His hands are going to hurt. And all those little bumps and bruises are going to just... He's just going to go to bed. Those of you guys who haven't heard his recent interviews, he smokes weed literally every single day. He smokes weed every single day. He says he needs it. Now, if you've been getting hit in the head since you're a young kid, you might be hooked on something, and I don't think he's going to stop it during training camp. So how do you guys think his lungs are going to be when he's puffing on weed all day, then he goes to train, and then he's facing Roy Jones? I think Roy Jones is going to be in much better shape, and Tyson's just not going to last. The man smokes every single day. Coach, are you biased because Tyson is a pop? No, but I assume smoking every single day when you're 50 and not having fought for 15 years. It's not a question of being biased. I like the guy. Actually, I have nothing against Mike Tyson. I have nothing against the guy. I just think that smoking every day, you haven't fought in 15 years, it's going to be hard to get through a training camp. It's going to be hard to find the motivation. Guys, I'm not taking any other questions other than the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones fight. Please, just focus on that. Smoking can increase lung capacity. Well, please post a study that says that. I don't know about that. Smoking weed every day? No, maybe taking a puff here and there could. I could see it's possible. Maybe there's a reaction from the lungs and the lungs are looking for oxygen. Who knows what narrative they're going to attach to it. But do me a favor. Find me a study where smoking weed every single day is going to help your cardio. That would be interesting. That's what made him Iron Mike in the first place, Ashmir. Well, actually, I really don't believe it. I think when he was with Customata and then Tommy Brooks and all that, he was like in the military camp. Like they watched him 24 hours a day. So I don't think that he was smoking weed every day and drinking or what. I don't think he's drinking now. I don't know if he is or not, but I don't think he was doing those things. Armando says, smoking can increase lung capacity. Michael Phelps, which was an Olympian swimming record holder, smokes religiously. Well, Armando, I'm familiar with Michael Phelps. I don't know how much he smokes. I don't know if he smokes once a month, once a year, once... I just doubt he smokes every single day. Now, I've hung out with his coach, Bob, I'm forgetting what his last name was. We did a conference together. We talked about training together. And he didn't mention to me that, hey, Coach Zahabi, if you want to increase your fighter's lung capacity, have them smoke weed every day. He didn't bring that up to me. And I'm forgetting. I remember his first name was Bob, Michael Phelps trainer. I just can't remember what his last name was. Forgive me. But I really highly doubt he smokes as much as Mike Tyson. The Diaz brothers. Mahab, checkmate. You've just checkmated this whole argument, including my argument, and the whole chat room at once. That was an incredible checkmate moment for you, Malhab. Malhab says, the Diaz brothers, that's a great example. Now, we all suspect that they smoke weed every single day, and they have tremendous cardio. That is very true. So I stand corrected, my friends. The Diaz brothers have proved me wrong. Have proved me wrong. I'm here admitting that my argument is ridiculous, because how could the Diaz brothers exist? How could that stunning cardiovascular capacity exist? Yes, it's not often I get checkmated on this channel, but today is a day, my friends. I have been checkmated. The Diaz brothers are living proof. Yes, you can have great... you can have great cardio and smoke weed every day. I do stand corrected. Okay, I have nothing to say. I have no counter argument. Mike Tyson might, you know what, Mike Tyson, I retract myself. Mike Tyson might last all 8 rounds and fight better than he's ever fought. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. You can have good cardio and smoke, but better cardio without smoking. That's from Kubrat. So what Kubrat's saying is that it's not a bad argument, Kubrat, but I still feel we're checkmated. I think our whole argument is nobody's ever going to hear this part. They're going to hear it, but they won't listen. They won't listen. Khalas, it's over. Diaz brothers exist. Weed and cardio can exist in the same body at the same time. It's too good. It's too juicy. People won't want to go any further. They won't want to speculate any further. But what Kubrat is saying, actually, which is very intelligent, he's saying, yes, the Diaz brothers have good cardio and they smoke weed. However, if they didn't smoke weed, they would have even better cardio. Boom, Kubrat, you threw me a lifesaver. But still, I just feel that this cannot, the popular opinion will just disagree with us just because it was such a good comeback what they had. The court of popular opinion, this matters. Not only reason, not only logic. Coach, do you think Tyson will have the reaction left to still fight with his head movement, heavy peekaboo style? That's from MMA Junkie 66121. The peekaboo style. Man, that was something to watch. Incredible. No, I don't think it's going to work on Roy Jones. I just don't think so. Because he's not going to have the speed and I just don't. Listen, if it works, man, I'll come on this channel and praise Mike. I have no problem with that. I just don't think it's going to work. I think Mike will not be in the shape, man. Listen, if he cannot fight for 15 years, come back and beat Roy Jones, who just fought in 2018. And of course he's heavier, he's bigger, but that ain't going to matter, man. That ain't going to matter. I just feel that he didn't age well. For us, you look baked, guys. I don't smoke weed. I'm not baked. I know people say that sometimes. It's just I have the studio light shining in my eyes. And maybe I didn't adjust it perfectly. But I'm not baked, okay? I'm perfectly sober. What you're seeing is a very powerful light shining in my face. And it kind of like, the glare is too much. So just another studio fail on this channel, but you know, this channel is for it's for the people who know about fighting. You guys don't care about fancy studio lights and all that stuff. Okay, this show's a bit raw. And I was saying that maybe when I get to 100 episodes, I'll actually invest in a studio, a real professional studio, and make sure that I have a professional audio engineer and lights and do all that and a background, and I'll do it all the fun stuff, and maybe I'll start bringing on guests. But I got to get my black belt in podcasting first before I do that. So that's why I'm doing this channel. I'm doing this I'm at 65 episodes. Let's see what happens in another 35 episodes. John Jones smokes weed before any activity. He has stated also that all training sessions. That's from Cameron James. You know, I've trained with John Jones for many years, and no, he did not come to the gym high. So maybe that's something new that he's added to his curriculum. I'm not saying he did. I'm not saying he didn't. You're reporting that. I don't know. I didn't verify your source. But when I was training with him, he did not do that. Thank you, Armando. That's very sweet of you. One of you was asking me about the Tim Tam. I wish I had one now, but it's upstairs. The best deep tissue therapy device. The number one most powerful massager in the world. There's a lot of cheap Chinese knockoffs. We have the strongest motor at the highest travel with heat. The only power massager with heat. Go to timtam.tech and make sure to check it out. All right, what else we got here? Bro, George, tell him. Okay, here we go. Being stoned makes hard cardio training easier. That's from Robert Murphy. Robert Murphy, thank you for sharing your experiences with us, but I couldn't confirm or deny that. I have no idea. Does Mike Tyson need Tim Tam? That's from All Sports TV. You know what? If Mike Tyson, if there's any way I can get Mike Tyson a Tim Tam, and he doesn't have to advertise, of course, but he's going to need a Tim Tam. I will send Mike Tyson two Tim Tams. If anybody can give me a place to send Mike Tyson a Tim Tam, I will ship him two Tim Tams. You know why? He's going to need it. He's going to need it because if he hasn't thrown a punch in 15 years and he's expecting to fight in September. If I was training Mike, I need to train him for 6 months just to get him ready for camp. I'd want him to start running again, lifting again, moving his body around again, calisthenics, nothing too crazy. Build him up to training 1 hour a day. I need him at least able to train 1 hour a day. Right now, I have a feeling he's nowhere near that. Like if he trained an hour a day, he'd be sore for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days maybe. And he's going to be smoking weed and be like, guys, I'm not good. I'll train again next week. Not tomorrow, not 2 days. It's going to be rough, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be rough when you don't train for that long. Now, maybe Mike Tyson is secretly staying in shape. And he can give his trainers 90 minutes a day, an hour to 90 minutes a day, let's say. Then I would say, look, he has a much better chance of winning. I just have a feeling it's not the case. After listening to his interviews and all that stuff. I just think it's not the case. For us, look at Mike Tyson's recent training clips. Okay, let me look at that. Maybe I'm off the mark here. Because from what I've heard about him, his lifestyle, from his own mouth, and it didn't involve any boxing at all. Mike Tyson, all comeback training clips, compilation. Oh yeah, he's training with Rafael Cordero. Okay, let me watch this here. Actually, let's watch it again. This is the right video. If it is the right video, I will share. Hold on to your horses. He's training with Rafael Cordero, the man. It's interesting he got an MMA coach to train him. That is very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Okay, hold on 1 second here. I got all sorts of distractions here. Hold on. All right, push the right button, my friend. Push the right button. All right, here we go. Let's watch it together. Thank you for that suggestion, by the way. That's a brilliant. Okay, there we go. There we go. There's the classic Mike. Beautiful punching. He's hitting Rafael on the body shield. That's amazing. Looking good, peekaboo. There's old Mike, Iron Mike. You know what? It's getting me excited, man. I'm excited to see this fight. I'm getting excited. There's Iron Mike, man. There he is. Is that it? Is that all the footage we got? All right, there's more. Here it comes. I'm scrolling here a little bit. All right. Beautiful. Peekaboo style. Bump. Peekaboo bump. He knows a lot about boxing. You know, when you hear Mike Tyson talk about boxing, he's a boxing scholar. It's incredible. He has a high intelligence. When it comes to boxing, he knows so much. It's amazing to hear him talk. Look at him, man. He looks awesome. Okay, now this can't be recent. There's no way this is recent. What I'm watching right now on screen, what we're watching together, this is not recent. Is it? No way. No. This can't be recent. Mike Tyson teaching Francis Ngannou. Okay, this is, you know, probably in the last 2 years at least. And you see his physique is very different than what we just saw earlier. And a few seconds ago, him hitting the bag. It's totally different physique. Look Guys, I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about this. All right. So we saw him hitting pads with Rafael Cordero. And my point was that you're not going to see him hitting pads for 2 minutes straight. That's my biggest fear for him in this fight. Is that, yeah, he's going to be explosive. He's going to be deadly. But Roy Jones, I think, is going to avoid that for a few minutes. He's going to dance around. And then he's going to start putting it on Mike. All right, let's see. Is there any more recent videos of him hitting pads or bag work? No, there's nothing. I'm scrolling here. No. Okay, here's more footage of him hitting Rafael Cordero pads. Beautiful. It looks like he's seconds of it. Is that on purpose or did they only hit pads for a few seconds? Let's see. Let's scroll back. Look, he's got till September 19th to get in shape. That's not a lot of time for a guy who hasn't trained in years. Maybe he has been training. I don't know, but I have a feeling it's not the case. I'm looking at his physique. All right, guys, tell me, what did you think about that sparring, that training footage? Hitting mitts is not a fight. That's, of course, that's true, 100%. Heavy bag footage is not recent, that's for sure. I mean, his physique was totally different when he's hitting the heavy bag. Coach, I haven't been able to... here we go. Hold on a second. There. Yes, there is. Listen, guys, in my opinion, he's not going to be in as good shape as Roy Jones. Roy Jones is going to dance around. He's too smart. Roy Jones is too smart to get caught in round one. If he does get caught in round one, I will be surprised and I will come up back on here and I will praise Mike. You know, I don't have anything personal against either one of them. I don't favor either one of them personally. I don't know them personally. I'm just saying that I just think that Roy Jones, you know, classic Roy Jones was very cautious. And yes, he's lost a few fights. You know, he lost those three fights in a row, but he still went on a win streak after that, and he's still, you know, he's won like probably, I don't remember what it was, but he's won his last few fights, and he's won three fights in a row, recently, you know, 2017. Mike hasn't fought for 15 years. Iron Mike power is way too much. Marco, I agree. He could land a punch in round one or two, but I don't think he will. I just don't see it. Okay, guys, my video stream is lagging, and I'm about to end this episode because we had a good time. Let me see how much time we're. How much time do we go? I have this button I've been dying. Yeah, we did an hour. I have this button I'm dying to press because I think it's going to end the misery of the lagging. If it does, I'm going to continue a little longer. If it doesn't and this whole episode crashes, well, that's what it is. The reason I'm saying that is because I have it connected to Wi-Fi and what's it called? Ethernet cable. Now, I think it's not supposed to be because now it's showing that I'm lagging. I'm not supposed to be lagging. I'm supposed to be on Ethernet top speed, super speed internet, but I'm not. I'm lagging. So I'm going to shut off the Wi-Fi, guys. If it kills the feed, oh, wait a second. I'm not lagging no more. But okay, we did an hour, guys. I'm not signing off if this thing doesn't cut me off. If it doesn't cut me off, I'm going to keep going. If not, I'll see you all in the next episode. Here I am. I'm pushing off the Wi-Fi, and I'm thinking the Ethernet's going to keep going and keep us in the green here and be no more lagging. What do you guys suggest? Should I turn off the Wi-Fi? Because I'm connected to Ethernet, and Ethernet is telling me it's green. Coach, I could listen to you forever. Thanks, Brian. You're the man. You're not lagging. McGregor, okay, I'm not lagging. Okay. You're not lagging now. Do it. Do it. Do it. Take it off. Wi-Fi. Okay. Man. Goodness gracious. I went to school for over 20 years. Why didn't they teach me how to learn a computer? They should have made it mandatory at gunpoint. Try the button. This was a great podcast, coach. you're good. Okay. We're not lagging, so I won't push the button. Let me just finish it up, and then I'll push the button. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about Mike Tyson, guys. Could you save me from my existential crisis? That's from Faisal. We're not going to talk about existentialism today, my dear friend. Yalla, bismillah. Inshallah, Muzi. Try the button, coach. Take that risk. McGregor versus Mountain Man. Turn off Wi-Fi. Press the button. All right. Let's press the button. Here it is. 3, 2, 1. Has the apocalypse happened? No, I'm still green. I'm still green. The Ethernet cable kicked in. Yep, Wi-Fi is off. USB Ethernet cable is on. And I'm in the green, no lagging. Look at that. Okay, so bonus time for us all here together. When will TriStar open? That's from Retro. Guys, we're still on lockdown. I'm actually having a meeting next week about reopening TriStar Gym. Of course, within the legal boundaries of what we're allowed to do. I'm thinking of doing like solo training classes, kickboxing, striking, but solo, 2 meter distance, limited members, starting with a small number of members, then, you know, on odd days, or you can only come twice a week or whatnot. We're planning, we're having a meeting, all of us, all the TriStar staff and management, we're going to be having a meeting and try to reopen TriStar slowly. Again, the rules are quite strict here in Quebec. I know in different places there are different rules, but right here they're quite strict. So we're going to do everything it takes to reopen within the parameters of the law. And hopefully that will be done soon. Paulo Costa versus Adesanya. Thoughts on Paulo? Guys, that's a fight I'm really looking forward to. We're going to do a whole breakdown on that. Okay, so I'm doing episodes again regularly now. Regular episodes. No more missed weeks. Make sure you subscribe because I'm doing episodes on a regular basis. Can't miss any more weeks. That's it. We're trying to get back from the apocalypse here. Trying to get back to normal. Adesanya versus Costa is a mega fight. I can't wait to see that fight. That's going to be something really special. I think it's going to look a lot like Yoel versus Adesanya, but more on that in another podcast. All right, so Umar, come on, man. It's not going to be like that. We got to start somewhere, and it's going to be amazing training, I promise. He's 19 years old to start, too late to start MMA. Sean, I started at 19, so no. I want to go to TriStar. Yes, please do come down. All right, we got a super chat. Hopefully it's a good one. Oh, no, it's a new member. Noah Berman. Welcome, my dear friend. How much do you miss jiu-jitsu? That's from Bilal. Well, I've secretly been doing jiu-jitsu, so I do it every day. I train every single day still, but not public training. No more barbecuing during lockdown? That's from Tyson. No. I've been barbecuing pretty much every single day. And I might do a barbecue video for you guys one day. Teach you guys what a pitmaster can do. Have you heard of Mexican martial arts? That's from Mystique. Yes, I've heard of Mexican judo. Judo know if I got a gun. Judo know if I got a knife. All right, I missed your pick on the fight. Who do you think will win it? Till James Mitchell, you got to rewind the episode, man. I can't go back. My BJJ gym is still open in Cali. Yeah, but you got to be careful of that COVID. You know, I was just chatting with one of my students who's a doctor, and he was telling me, look, everything you hear about COVID is real. You know, you got to be careful. He was telling me he's a legit doctor, works in a hospital. You know, he's a PhD, so I take his opinion very seriously. And he was telling me, look, like the young, fit people are not dying from it. They're just getting like a really bad flu, but the elderly people are dying from it. So you got to be careful. And he said from 40 and up, like you'll see them get sick. But young, healthy 40-year-olds, they're not getting terminally ill per se. But again, this is just his observation in his hospital. He's been saying that, you know, you can get it and give it to an elderly person. That's the big danger as well. You know, if you catch the COVID, you can infect an older person or somebody with a pre-existing condition, and they can have permanent lung damage or die. And all these, of course, these things you hear in the news, he's telling me they're real. So Coach, what's the best way to train explosiveness while at home? I only have a chin-up bar and some weights. You know what I like? Plyometric jumps, body weight jumps, but low impact plyometrics. You got to do some research. There's lots of great resources on YouTube alone. There's a lot of body weight plyometrics you can do, and get a stretch band. You know, get a stretch band, and there's a lot of great plyometrics you can do. But just go easy on it, because stretch bands can cause a lot of soreness. Barbecue, Kevin Fergoso, you read my mind, my friend. Barbecue is the best. What will jiu-jitsu rolling be like post-pandemic? I believe it's going to go back to normal. I think it's going to, well, I mean, I think eventually people will make their peace with it and be like, hey, if I'm young and fit, I'll take the risk. And if I'm old, and I'll stay away from elderly people, that's pretty much what I'm doing now. I think that's what's going to happen, because people now are coming out of confinement slowly, more and more. We have to expect a rise in cases, of course, but people are not going to live in their homes forever, I don't think. Hey, coach, do you think the UFC will ever go back to normal? Yes, I do believe so, Manuel. I do believe so, 100%. All right, guys, let's wind this down. I'm going to take how many more questions? Two more? Two more questions. Okay, let's do it. Two more questions, and then we wrap this up. So let's make him real good. Coach, when is your hot sauce dropping? You know what? I got a crazy recipe for hot sauce. Anybody interested in starting a hot sauce company, contact me. I got a crazy recipe for hot sauce. Crazy. All right. What else is there? Tim Tam helped me get through COVID. I had a body aches. Tim Tam, Cesar Rodriguez. No joke, guys. No joke. We had a nurse couple. So a husband and wife, they were both nurses. And the husband got COVID, and she was using Tim Tam on him, and she was checking regularly. He was actually very obese, the guy. And she was checking his oxygen saturation on a regular basis. And after using Tim Tam, his oxygen levels went up because he was having trouble breathing. She's like, hey, maybe this will move things around in there. And she was just experimenting. And she made a live video. She sent it to us. She posted it online. And she measures his blood saturation, his oxygen saturation in his blood before and after using the machine. And I was shocked as everybody, because the device is not intended to do that, obviously. It's not a device designed to fight COVID. It's a device to help you with recovery. But it turned out, no joke, I don't know if you saw the video or you're just joking around, but the device helped the man. I think he went for, I can't remember the numbers exactly, so I don't want to say, but he went up like 15 points, which was shocking to us all. All right, Chilean hot sauce called Pebre. Look it up. That's very interesting. Pebre, I will look it up. Let me look it up right now. Let's look it up. Guys, you know me, I love the hot sauce. Pebre Chilano. Okay. Oh, yeah. Tigana's chili. Probably jalapeno. No, it can't be. Yeah, look, he put jalapeno in there. All right, we'll have to watch that another time, I guess. He's got more stuff. I'll have to check that video out later. I'm in the search for the world's greatest hot sauce. It's not all about heat, guys. You got to have great flavor. Some sauces are super hot, but no flavor. Coach, did you get your black belt from Denahar or Henzo? That's from Hong Ryu. I got it from Denahar. Cholula. I got to try that as well. Okay, guys. Let's give a last question to the next lucky questioner. And then we'll wrap this up. It's been a great episode. Thank you all for tuning in. What is going to be the last question? Have you rolled with John Denahar and Gordon Ryan? That's from Mr. J Combo 7. Yes, many, many times. And especially, before John's hip got bad. because John has a very bad hip. He's been operated. He had a hip replacement. He had a bad knee, which unfortunately, because it's the hip's a joint above, you know, he had a lot of hip problems. So he had a very, very bad knee. He was born with a deformity in the knee. A lot of people don't know that about John. And despite that, he was still a phenomenal grappler. And I got a chance to roll with him before, because now he doesn't roll like he used to, obviously, because his knee became really, really bad. And then the hip became so bad, he had to have a hip replacement. John was just killing us all. He's just a smashing everybody. And of course, I was more than just a victim. I was a daily victim for him at any time we rolled. And of course, Gordon Ryan is the greatest, in my opinion, is the greatest grappler ever. In the Abu Dhabi's type rules and all that, I think he's reached the highest level. So Gordon is something to roll with. You know, he's incredible. Coach, just want to say you're an incredible part of MMA's development. Keen to see you in the corner again. Thank you, boss. I appreciate that. Send me the Tim Tam COVID video, please. You're going to have to Google it. I don't have the video. All right, guys. I was supposed to do the last one. I'm going to give you guys one bonus one just because I didn't feel it ended in the right way. Let's do one last one. Who's got the last question? Who should start? Check the super chats. All right. Did I miss another super chat? You guys know the coach is not always missing super chats. And then I get grief for missing super chat. All right. All right. Okay, what super chat did I miss? All right, guys. I believe the last super chat, I had body aches and almost, I can't answer any medical questions. No medical questions, please. Come on, guys. No medical questions. Okay, last one. Fighters Union. No, I'm not going to do that one. What you going to do? A live Lebanese cooking show. You know, that might happen. Does your guard retention instructional apply to MMA? That's a good question. Yes, it does, and no, it doesn't. So there's some that's for MMA, and there's some that's not for MMA. I think if you go through it, you're going to find some gems for both. If you do both and you practice them well, you'll know which ones go for MMA, which ones don't. Especially if you spar in MMA, you're going to see some work super well. You need guard retention in MMA, absolutely. Last thing you want to be is mounted or side control getting hit on the bottom in MMA. Guys, thank you all for tuning in. It was fun. I will see you all in the next episode. Thank you.